First John 4, 7 and 8. We may as well start there, since that's where we ended the singing. First John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. We in this room, except for Abby, have given our lives to the Lord. We've asked him to be our Lord and Savior. We've received the blood that he shed for us on the cross. That's the beginning of a walk with him. That's the beginning of a life that is transformed. That's the beginning of us knowing him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. We can know him, and if we do, then we can love one another. Without him, we can't love one another. Because the love that we have of ourselves is completely related to how it relates to us. Philios, which is the only thing that you can really offer to somebody if you don't have the Lord, is all about how you feel about somebody. That's what it is. Whether you like them or not. Whether you enjoy hanging out with them or not. Or maybe you might put up with some just because it makes you feel good. Because you can... You feel better than them, so you can hang out with them even though you don't like them. It's still about how you feel about them and how it relates to you. We know the Lord. At least we have asked him to be our Lord and Savior. Therefore, we have recognized that we're sinners, that we need him. That's the beginning. Now, as we study more of him, get to know him and walk in him, choosing to put off ourselves, to put off our carnal mind, to put off everything that we see and hear that bombards us that is contrary to the Lord, and choose rather to love others. The love that we have here, beloved, let us love one another. That's not about me or you. For me, it's about you. And for you, it's about me and the rest of us. You know, it's no longer all related to me or you. You know, I say me, you can say it to yourselves, me. Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Those who don't know him need to know him. You know, we were talking just before the service about the whirlwind of life that we create for ourselves by our decisions. That affects other people. But it's still we decide what we're going to do and how we're going to... The choices we make, they do affect others. Each of us get to choose how we let them affect us. But without the Lord, we're all the same. We're still all the same, except that we know Jesus. And that's what those who don't know him, they need him. And they can know him by love. Somewhere it says, I give you a new commandment. I think it's in John somewhere. I give you a new commandment that you love one another. That's how people will know that you know the Lord, is by your love, your agape love, choosing to prefer somebody else over yourself. Not just somebody, everybody. To honor all men, to look to how you can serve and how you can bring the gospel and bring love and bring the Lord to those who are in front of you, to those who he brings across your path. That's how you know you're his disciple. That's how people know that you're his disciple, is by your love one for another. It starts here because it says, beloved, he's talking to those who are believers. Let us love one another. And then we take it from what the Lord's given us and we give it out as well. He that loveth not knoweth not God. You know, the Bible talks about the Lord, no one comes to the Father but the Spirit draw him. There's a saying, if the Spirit doesn't move, move the Spirit. So you know what? You can lift people up to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to draw them to him and trust him to do it. Because that's how you came to him. It's because someone did that for you. Do you know that? At least somebody was praying for you. And you. And you. And that is why you came to him. So go to your heavenly Father with those who you know that the Lord may draw them to himself. That they too may know his deliverance, his peace, his love, his joy, his forgiveness. Steve?
Good morning. I hope that's coming in all right. I want to come over here to 1 John. And this concept of loving one another is is central. How are people going to know the love of God unless they experience the love of God? How can you expect people who don't know the love of God to minister the love of God unto you? And as you look over here in 1 John 4, Megan read, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." See, because how can you love with the love of God unless you know the love of God? Because you know Him. You can't. Right? How do you know Him? Well, one of the ways in which you know Him is through His body, which is the church, ministering in that love. That's one of the ways in which you come to see it. Another way in which you come to see it, Megan was talking about, in the sense of prayer. We sang that song, every prayer is a, you know, step by step, we're moving forward, little by little, taking ground. Every prayer is a powerful weapon. Strongholds come tumbling down, right? Right. When you pray unto the Lord, and God moves in accordance with that prayer, you come to know Him. You come to trust Him. You come to understand something of His character and nature. Right? And when we read in the Scripture, we read of many people who did just that. We take, for example, let me give you a small example. Take Hannah, who was a woman. Her husband had two wives, and the other wife had like five children, I think, and was constantly, essentially, putting Hannah down for the fact that she didn't have any children. And she saw herself as being the one who had God's blessing on her because she had five children, or whatever number it was, and Hannah had none. And yet Hannah's husband preferred Hannah over the other, did she not? Did he not? And he even spoke, "So am I not better unto thee than, you know, many children?" Like, but Hannah wanted children. And so she went, and where it did is it drove her to a place in seeking the Lord where she did something that you don't see anywhere else in the Scripture any other woman ever do. And what it is that she did is she said, "Lord, if you will give me a son, I will lend him unto you all the days of his life. He will be yours." And she did just that. She then, the priest, Eli, who was the one operating in the position of priest, because the priesthood was hereditary, and so that meant that he was the son of the son of the son of the son of, going back to Aaron and the like, so he was the high priest. And so he, notwithstanding the fact that he himself was going to be judged for his own rebellion to the Lord, when he told her to go in peace, she believed, and she conceived and brought forth Samuel. And then after Samuel, she had many other children. And it all began with a prayer. And God moving through that prayer, she came to know something of the love and power of God to open up her womb. If you see many of the promised children of the Lord, whether it was John the Baptist, whether it was Isaac, whether it was Jacob and Esau, because if you remember, Rebekah's womb was closed so that she could not bear, came from just such beginnings. People's prayers. And sometimes those prayers didn't come to pass for a long time. That's why with John the Baptist's father, when he said, when the angel Gabriel said unto him, "You know, thy prayers have been answered," he's like, "How shall I know this?" He wasn't just in there praying, "Father, give me a son." He had prayed this some long time before and now had kind of given up hope that he was going to have that child. And so he had to be struck dumb until that child came as his sign that it was indeed true. And it did come to pass, and then his tongue was loosed, and he prophesied of his own son and of Jesus. Okay? So prayer is a powerful way. But another very powerful way is when people come into contact with the love of God through you. Okay, you're not looking to gain something from them. You're looking to impart something unto them. Are they deserving of that imparting of something unto them when you do it? No. No more deserving than you were when somebody imparted the love of God unto you. So watch, looking at that in that context, let's look at these verses again. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. I've just finished the song and remember. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. We're going to come back to that in a minute. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. All right? And come back to that, but let's read down a little farther. In this was the love was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. You see that? Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's our, that part of our deservedness, right? We were sinners, fully deserving of all the goodness of God, right? And he chose to send his Son to live that perfect sinless life for us, to willingly die on a cross. Remember when they came to arrest Jesus? And remember when he said, "Whom seekest thee?" And all the men fell back. And when Peter cut off the servant of the high priest's ear, what did Jesus do? He healed the ear, he put the ear back on, and he told him to put up his sword, and he said, "Knowest thou not that if I, you know, I could call 10,000 legions of angels right now, but it's for this cause I'm here." And so he went forward in obedience to his Father unto the death, and in dying made the way for us to be free of our sins and to live in him. Right? Notice that? Live in him. It talked about when we live in him, we are born again and able to walk. Because see, we lived in our flesh. In our flesh, we were born once. Each of us were present at our own births, but we don't remember them. But we have people here who remember the births of some people. You remember Kaylee's birth. I remember these four little ones' births. I know Linda remembers the birth of her children, even though none of them are here present with us. We remember these things, and this little child came into the world and went up and it grew up around us and the like. Well, when you receive Christ, you are born again. And with that being born again, you are to now learn to live and walk in his love. Before that, you were alienated from that love. Megan was talking about before that how all we know to give is philios, or she didn't say this, eros love. Eros is sexual love. Philios is a love she was talking about that it, what philios does is it revolves around me. Okay, if I choose to love you, I may hate your guts, and I may think that my love of you is some great thing, but the reason why I'm loving you is so that I can feel great about myself, and how marvelous, simply marvelous, like Billy Crystal, I forgive me. I'm a horrific example of trying to do the Billy Crystal thing. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's why people do these things, is because of how it makes them feel about themselves and how they think about themselves. So even when it seems to be a pain in the you-know-what to love a particular person, and we do it for how it glorifies us. See, it all revolves around us. Right? By contrast, the love of God doesn't revolve around us at all. It has nothing to do with us. It has with doing what is right for another. So, for example, Jared may need a reaming out. Jared, do you ever need a reaming out? Do you ever need your chewed a new one? You know, you ever need that? Does that ever happen with you? Yeah. You do, periodically? Okay, well, you know what? Sometimes then love is to do just that. And sometimes when somebody's doing that, you're not too pleased with the love they're doing, are you? What are you doing? Doesn't that happen? I know she knows what that's like. Because I used to do it with her. I used to do it with her. But the thing is the love of God, notwithstanding what that other person may think of you, what that other person may say about you to others, what might be the way the world then perceives you, it doesn't matter because you're not doing it for yourself. You follow what I'm saying? You're not doing it for yourself. I mean, look at Jesus. All he did is walk in love. Even when he was saying things that people found pretty hard, like ye are of your father the devil. You know, called him whitewashed sepulchres or different things like that. Even as he was saying those things, you know what? That was loving them. When he said to Nicodemus, what, you're a father in Israel and you know not these things? You know, Nicodemus went from feeling pretty, I'm one of the 70, I'm one of the rulers of the Jews, I am pretty daggone important. I get the chief seats in the synagogues, I get to wear these nice robes. You know what I mean? I'm doing pretty well. Jesus cut him down to size, now he's playing handball on the curbside. You know? And you know what? As a consequence of that, Nicodemus went with Joseph of Arimathea to beg the body of Jesus. He was not consenting unto his death in the council. He was a witness in the very council that knew that Jesus was the Son of God and determined that they were going to crucify him, notwithstanding the fact that he was the Son of God. In that very council, you had two witnesses at least. Two witnesses of people who were standing up for Jesus because they knew he was the Son of God. And they had to disregard in their very deliberations that testimony to decide to put him to death. They had to disregard that, and that at the same time they're paying people, right, to lie about Jesus so that they can put him to death because they want him gone. Right? And the thing is that Jesus, what had he done to deserve them doing that to him? Nothing. See, when you're going to walk in the love of God because the world does not know the love of God, the world is not going, you're going to have two different reactions. You're going to have that part of the world that goes, oh my God, I had hoped but had never believed that it could be true. That the gospel could be true, that the love of God could be real, that I could experience it, that I could be forgiven, that I could be loved. Notwithstanding everything about me that is unlovable, that I could be these things. And then you got the other side, which rejects, which then you are the evil one who's controlling these people and deceiving them and doing all of these other things. Now, let me ask you something. We have elections in this country every 4 years, don't we? Every 2 years, actually. 4 years for president, but 2 years for things like House and all these other things. Who's deceived? When you go out here and you vote for people, these politicians that are up there, are they deceivers or are they truth tellers? I mean, Linda, you've been around a while. You've voted in a number of election cycles. Since when have you been satisfied with your choice? Has it ever happened? Have you ever gone, wow, he did exactly what he promised? And then when he got up there and people called him on different things, he only told the truth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. No. When you go to work and you got people working for you, and like, I mean, I know you've been a supervisor, Linda. You've done this. People at Brooks, when they didn't show up for work, were they always telling you the truth? When they said, oh, my car wouldn't start. Was that really what was happening? Or is that they got drunk last night and didn't feel like getting up? Probably the latter. And you hear the people bucking and jiving and do all of these kinds of things. And then we care what they say about us when we minister in the love of God. We care about the fact that people believe them rather than the truth. Look, we live in a society that has come to hate the truth. We live in a society that's come to hate the truth. You can't expect them to minister and manifest the love of God. It's on us. And we have to love them just like Christ loved us when he went to the cross. That's the same love. We have to love them because we know that their only hope is if they come to know the love of God. If they don't know the love of God, they're going to die and go to hell just like we were going. Just like we were going. completely ignorant of the fact that that's where we were about ready to go. Thinking we were all right and everything. And so we can take that step back and we can love them. We can choose to love them. And when they receive that love, we rejoice. We have a new brother or a new sister, right? When they reject that love, we don't worry about it. Because you know what? How many times did we reject truth before we received it? I mean, let me ask you, when you're going through this struggle in your life and everything, and somebody sees what's going on in the struggle. Now, parents see this with children with some regularity. They can see a struggle, and they can see something going on, and they'll go and they'll try and tell their child something about it. Right? Right, Kaylee? They'll go and try and tell their child something about it. But the child denies it. Oh, no, that's not going on. Absolutely not. No, no, no. I wouldn't think of such a thing. No, I know what I'm doing. Right, Kaylee? Did that ever happen with you? Not ever with Kaylee. I apologize. I must be thinking of somebody else, okay? I mean, forgive me out here. You can see it. She can't see it. You know why? Because she doesn't want to see it. You know why she doesn't want to see it? Because she wants to do what she wants to do. So why would I see the truth, which is going to tell me to stop doing that, when I can instead believe a beautiful lie I've made up to myself so that I can do what I want to do? So anybody ever had that experience with a child or with an employee or with anybody out here? You can see it and they just won't acknowledge it, and you watch them buck and jive and stuff like that. And immediately what you do is you kill them, right? Done with you. You didn't receive the truth. Dead! Death to all liars and everybody, right? Isn't that what you do? Can you imagine if that's how we were treated? You know, can you imagine? But instead, what you do is, as a Christian, for example, you can cheat. Did you know it's okay to cheat as a Christian? Okay? You can go and pray for them. Ooh. You can pray for them. And you can let the Lord, working by His Holy Spirit, kind of work on some of them to bring them around to a place where maybe the lie that they've chosen to believe and hang out in for so long, they're actually willing to maybe give up because they realize, you know what? Oh my God, that really stinks. That direction's terrible. And so they can actually get receptive to receiving. And then the Lord can quicken something that you said, which was said in love. And they may come back to you, or they may not come back to you. But what difference does it make? Joe, you can talk to me afterwards, okay? Keep your thought. All right? They can come back to you, or maybe somebody else. What difference does it make? You sowed, another reaped. What difference does it make? Is it all about you yet? You follow what I'm saying? So you don't worry about it, but you can pray and let the Lord work with that person. And when that time comes, if you are also one who is yet available and present and who the Lord would choose to make use of in bringing something around to a person, you get to rejoice as you watch them then receive that love of God. So we get the opportunity, the beautiful opportunity, to share the love of God with people out here. Right? Not because we're expecting something from them, right? But because He first loved us when we were in the same condition they're in. And so now we can love them. Right? Isn't that what it's all about? So, going back here to verse 7 for a moment. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. All right, is born of God. So look, if you do not love others, then are you born of God? Okay? And love is a choice. Okay? It's something we have to choose to do. So, for example, I mean, we got Jared over here. Jared, you're living over at Jeannie's, right? So you're constantly operating in a state, therefore, of looking around for things you can do to show Jeannie that you love her. Like, gosh, let me think. Hey, it's snowing out. Let me go clean off her car for her this morning. Maybe get it started and warmed up so that when she's ready to go, she'll just be able to hop in. It'll be done. Maybe I'll sweep the steps. Hey, I see there's laundry that needs to be done. Maybe I'll separate it, get it ready, and stuff like that. Ask her if she minds me doing it. Stuff like that. I can do a little laundry because I'm at home not doing anything and stuff like that. Hey, you know what? I'm coming home. You know, she's been buying me food and stuff like that, and she's been feeding me. I'll tell you what. I mean, I bet you it'd be a blessing if I picked up some of this stuff on the way home and brought it there so that we'd have some of the things that'll be a blessing to the household. Right. That's generally how you think every day, right? Praise God. Wait a second. Oh, not always. I mean, I'm watching Jeannie. She's shaking her head this way, okay, left to right, and I get these little nods up and down from Jared, man. There's something that's not squaring here. Not squaring. You follow what I'm saying? See, love is to be doing that. Love is to be doing that. All right. So everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. See, when you are born, you learn from your parents, don't you? All right. When you are born again in Christ, you seek to learn from your parent, your heavenly Father, right? Now, most of us are born again when we're old enough to read. So one of the ways we do is God, our dad, left us a note. Hey, this is what I want you to do. Okay, now I didn't leave a note for my children today. So when we went out, what I told them, we were going out and we had a little bit of snow this morning. So I told them, I said, look, go out, shovel your paths that go through the yard, which they use and our dogs use to go to the bathroom and stuff, and scoop up the poops. And when you're done with that, go around the perimeter of our veggie boxes and the parking area and the like to move everything like a scoop or two wide out into the center so the guy who does our plowing can get it. That's what I said. So I'm up on the roof sweeping and cleaning off the snow and everything, and my sons are coming out testifying of how good they're doing, and we're out here doing this stuff and everything, and I come downstairs and I'm like now out on the thing doing stuff, and I'm like, hey, you guys didn't do the pass. Oh! Okay, so I come back in after I tell them they've gone in to do the pass, and how well had they done the pass, do you think? Not very. And when theirs came to the scoop and the poop, oh, you should have seen people falling on the ground. I'm cold. I'm this. Okay, you getting a picture here, you see? See, what if you love God, then you're going to want to do as he says. Right? You're going to want to do as he says. And in doing as he says, you're going to then go look at the little note he sent you. He sent you a note. Said, hey, this is what I want you to do. And then when you see things that are in this note, what happens is you do these things take priority over those things you used to do. Imagine that. I want to please my daddy. I want to do what he would have me do. No. Wait a second. But if I do that, when am I going to go do what I want to do? Like, go find a new Transformer toy. Right? I mean, or when am I going to go, you know, get a new girlfriend or something like that, or boyfriend? Right? When am I going to do these things? You know, in fact, if I read it, it's going to tell me to flee fornication, so I'm not even going to be able to do that at all. Oh, no! It's terrible! What's this thing say? It says, everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. See, you come to know God, one of the ways you do is by his word. He left you instructions. He gave you the manual on this life. And you go, yippee, I was looking for a manual. Nah, you know what? Yeah, it's kind of like those 10 lepers. You remember the story of the 10 lepers in the scripture? 10 lepers came to Jesus, all wanting to be cleansed. And he prayed for them, and straightway they were all cleansed. No longer had leprosy. Leprosy, when you had leprosy, that meant that you were a person who couldn't dwell with everybody else. You were separate. Your life was horrible. Okay? So when they got their cleansed of their leprosy, you know what? Only one of those 10 turned back to say thank you. See, the others got what they wanted, and then they went on their merry way. You see what I'm saying? They got what they wanted. And is that not how people are by nature? Is when we get what we want, then we want to go do our own thing? We don't want to serve the one who gave us that which we wanted. So here, it's everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. See, you come to know God from that intermingling. You operate in His Word. You see what His Word says, and you go forward and do it, and God moves, and you come to have a relationship with Him. And you come to know that this is indeed His very Word. It's not the Word of man. It's not some idea that, cunningly devised fables, as Peter said, you know, something, hey, I'll tell you what, you know what, I know how we can perfectly deceive the people and make the biggest religion on earth. Let's do this. That's not what happened. That's not what happened. But as Peter said, holy men of God spake as the Spirit moved them. The Spirit. So let's watch this here. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might, see, it doesn't say you're going to, it says that we might live through Him. You can only live through Him when you've laid down your life and taken up His. That's how you live through Him. So you have to give up all the old stuff. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, isn't that a loving thing for Him to do, is to remind us that we are sinners and He had to wash them all away for us? Yes. It's love, because otherwise we start thinking too highly of ourselves. See, America, that's one of the things that happened in America. See, if you look, and you look back early in the country, one of the things that happened, every time something went wrong, you know what they did? They declared a day of public fasting, humiliation, and prayer. Because they saw it as a judgment of God on them, and they wanted to get their acts together and get right. Please forgive us, Lord. Okay? So as God began moving in all of these things, the next thing you start finding out, Americans are thinking pretty good about themselves. And we have, like, we won World War I because of American ingenuity. We became the richest nation on earth because we're better than everybody. We are, what's the term they use today? They call it American exceptionalism. That's the term they have. We're exceptional. Don't you know? We're exceptional. Well, no, we are not. God is exceptional. And the reason why we won these things was because He was with us by grace, not because we are some great thing. He was the propitiation for our sins. That was the only way He could make a way for us to partake with Him. But by His grace, we did these things. So what happened is we started claiming that which God had done for us as though it was us who had done it ourselves. And we began to fall. So he goes, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Oh, yeah, look at that. If He so loved us, we ought. It's proper, right, correct. How could we think otherwise? Right? Isn't that pretty much what he's saying there? That we ought to love one another. But wait a second here. You guys could be pretty daggone jerky. Don't you know? I get to see it. Of course, I can be pretty daggone jerky too. All right? And as a consequence of that, you know what? Loving you can be daggone hard. I don't feel like it. You're not worth it. You ever feel that way with respect to Jared? That he's just not worth your love, Jeannie? Has that ever happened to you? Just a teeny weensy bit every once in a while? You're thinking, he's such... I won't use the kind of words that probably crossed through her mind. This is going to be PG-13 or something like that, rated. But the fact of the matter is, I'm sure there are some words that go running across her mind with respect to you, Jared, that aren't exactly... I love my nephew. I'm so glad he's here with me. He's such a wonderful young man. So helpful. Are those the thoughts that run through your head? How much longer do I have to put up with him? Can he get out of here now? He's not worth it. He ain't working out. You think something like that probably runs through her mind every once in a while, Jared? Yeah, I suspect so. Okay. And you know what? She has to wrestle with that. She has to wrestle with it. Oh, Lord, what do I do? Can I kick him out now? Oh, not yet. Oh, I got to... Oh, it's like the, you know, it's like the Dracula getting hit with the wooden stake through the heart. He's all like this. And you know why? Because her old man isn't like Jesus. Thank God for you. We serve a mighty big God. And so notwithstanding those kinds of thoughts, you know what? She's extended grace unto you and let you have an opportunity to get some things right. You know what I'm saying? So, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. Watch this. No man hath seen God at any time. Now, this is important from this perspective. Because people haven't seen God, you know what where they get their idea of who Christ is? Who would you? From you! How good of an example do you think that is? Abs, come back here. Go back to Mom. All right. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now watch that. Is that not an awesome thing? That God's love can be perfected in you? Perfected. Not partially fulfilled. Perfected. How high of a standard is that? I mean, he died for you. Would you die for another? I mean, the scripture says, no greater love hath a man than that he lay down his life for a friend. It's an interesting story. It's come through. I wish I could remember the names of the people, but it's a story relating to the Vietnam War and the Vietnam War Memorial. And what it is, there's a Christian man who goes down there, and he goes down there in remembrance of a Christian who served next to him. He was not a Christian. And this man ministered unto him about Jesus, and ministered unto him about the gospel, and ministered unto him about the love of God. And then one day, a grenade was thrown where they were. And you know what that man did? He laid down on that grenade and died. That other man goes every year to the Vietnam War Memorial because of that man's love for him. See, the love of God is perfected. It can be perfected in you. It ought to be perfected in you and in me. Do you believe that God's able to perfect his love in you? Well, look, how can he perfect it in you if you don't listen to him? How can he perfect it in you if you don't seek him? How can he perfect it in you unless he becomes the most important one to you? You follow what I'm saying? When he becomes those things, he can now perfect his love in you. You follow me? Hereby know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. See, the temple of the Holy Spirit is the body of Jesus Christ. It's not your body. It's the body of Jesus Christ. So when you dwell in him, he gives his Spirit unto you, because his Spirit dwells in his body. Do you follow me? If you don't, you'll be alienated from that Spirit. And that Spirit is that thing that animates to confirm his word and move in circumstances that seem too extraordinary for you to accomplish his will in accordance with his word. He had promised to a guy by the name of Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. And he promised that he was going to give him a certain land. And he showed him what that land is. And he had him go be a sojourner there, wandering around in it. And he was there 430 years later to the day he brought Abraham's seed out of Egypt. Brought him out. By their own power? No, by his power. And then 40 years later, he brought them in to the promised land. Did the walls of Jericho fall down because of their really great plan? Was it because of when they all shouted, the vibrations were so strong that the walls just hit their harmonic frequencies and went crashing down? No. They did those things in obedience to God, and God, by his Spirit, moved and caused those walls to fall down. Do you think that would make you feel a little bit more like, hey, maybe he's with us? I can't see him, but maybe he's with me. Do you think that might give you a little more confidence going into the next battle that you had, having experienced that? You follow what I'm saying? This is how you come to know the Lord and walk in him. And when you do this, he gives you a Spirit. And it says, verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Okay? John was one of those who walked physically with Jesus on this earth. And he saw and he did testify that Jesus was the Son of God. Paul the Apostle did not know Jesus when he was on this earth. But you know what? He saw Jesus just like John saw Jesus. John saw him here when he was a man. Paul saw him when he was resurrected and in his glorified form. And Paul, the others, notwithstanding the fact that they physically walked with Jesus for 3 years on this earth, they could add nothing to Paul, who had never walked a single day with Jesus when he was on this earth. Think of that. They could add nothing unto Paul. And you know what? The same can be true of you and me. The same can be true. Will we make the same kind of commitment and dedication that we see that Paul had? It goes on, and we have known and believed, verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we. So just as he is, so are we. Is that what our lives have looked like thus far? So there's room for improvement. That's not a bad thing, is it? Not a bad thing that there's room for improvement. And you know what? No matter how old or how young you are, it doesn't matter. You can fulfill walking in the love of God, because it's not about you and your strength. Moses didn't even start till he was 80. And watch this. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And I wanted to hit on that one, and I wanted to get down to that one, because, look, do you have fears? Me too. I mean, I shouldn't, truth be told, I ought not to. Okay? But if I'm going to be honest first with myself and then with you, I have to confess, yeah. So what does that mean? It means that I am not perfect in his love. Right? Because perfect love casteth out all fear. Right? So what are we going to do about it? I mean, I can't make you perfect in his love any more than you can make me perfect in his love, right? That's the work of God. It's not your work or my work. But we can choose to believe this word and set ourselves to that end. We can pray. Remember, this seems impossible, right? Be perfect in love? Walk as he walked? I mean, does your life testify that that's a likely scenario for you? Right. Neither does my life testify that that's a likely scenario for me. But God's testimony to me is that that is indeed the truth. Do you follow me? His testimony. My life may not testify of that. His life testifies to that. Not only through his word, but in the extraordinary grace and power and love that he has shown unto me, notwithstanding my failures, notwithstanding my faults. You follow what I'm saying? So am I going to believe him, or am I going to believe myself? If I'm going to believe him and his testimony to me, then you know what? Lord, may I be made perfect in your love. Help me, Lord. You follow me? Remember when the disciples, when Jesus was talking to them, and he said unto them, you know, verily, verily, I say unto thee, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven or God. I forget which way he says it in that instance. Remember when he says that? And the disciples are like, well, who then can be saved? And he also said one time, you know, unless your righteousness exceedeth the righteousness of the Pharisees, you can in no wise be saved. They're like, their answer is, who then can be saved? And Jesus' answer to them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So when he promises us that we can be made perfect in love, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So which way am I going to believe? Am I going to believe in men or man? Or am I going to believe in God? If I believe in God, then I can know that I can be made perfect in love. And you know what? I shared the story of the guy in the Vietnam War Memorial. But some people know here, and some who are maybe listening out there know. This happened before I ever became a Christian, and you may know this story somewhat, Linda. Do you remember the Cannons who lived over there in the fire? Susie Cannon, who was 16 years old at the time of the fire, was a young woman who had given herself over to the Lord. She had an older sister, Helen, who had a lot of different problems. She had had a child outside of wedlock. She had an older brother, Jim, who had quite a number of problems. She had another older brother, Joe, who had a number of problems. She had a mom, Flo, who had a number of problems. And what had happened is, by her testimony, her faith, two people had come to know the Lord recently. One was her older sister, Helen. The other was Jim's daughter. Who were the three, who were the ones who died in that fire? The ones who had come to know the Lord. Who were the ones who were in that house who survived? the two who did not, Jim and Flo. Now, something a lot of people don't know is Susie had testified, I think, just that very week, but if not that very week, it was sometime very shortly before, about the Lord taking someone, kind of like he took Enoch. And she had testified of this, and we know that Enoch walked with God and was no more, for God took him, the scripture says. Well, what was interesting is Susie ended up being the one who literally fulfilled that very thing, and it happened in a manner that was tragic in many ways, and certainly nobody wants to see people die in a fire. But one of the things was is that Helen, if you had known Helen, and I did not, but from what I understand, Helen had just received the Lord, and Helen was a person who the likelihood that she could have carried out a long walk with Jesus, she didn't seem to have the strength to do that. And so she was taken along with her child before she had the opportunity to fall. Susie was likewise taken. And what's interesting is the testimony of that went out to both Flo and Jim. Jim, not too long after that, received Christ as his Lord and Savior. Okay, and Flo did likewise. All right, and each of them know that if they're going to see their daughters, sisters, and grandchild again, that they're going to have to go forward in Christ unto the end. But they actually know. They actually all know where they went. And they know how it went down. Now, the town didn't view it as such. The town viewed it as a bunch of other things at the time that it happened. But I share this with you because, see, Susie had gotten to that place where she had been made perfect in love. Just like the guy who fell on the hand grenade. Can you imagine if you were his parents? His parents just get the notice in the mail saying, your son's dead. But they didn't know that his love had been made perfect when he laid down his life for that other man. See, it can be done. And the way in which it's manifest in our lives oftentimes is not looked upon by the world who doesn't know the love of God as that love. So I share this with you folks. I want you to go, and if you believe the Word of God, you believe this Word that I've been sharing with you here today is the Word of God and not the Word of Steve, then go get in your closet and determine that you're going to believe God for this promise. You're going to choose to walk in love. You're going to start looking outward rather than inward. You're going to start looking for opportunities to minister that love of God, rather than always looking at yourself and whatever you don't have, want, or all the other things. And the Lord will work with you and perfect you in His love. And when all that fear goes away, you know what you'll be able to do? You'll be free to do as He did, because you'll have no fear. And that's what it really is to be a Christian. That's what that word really means. And that's a promise of God to each of us. Amen. All right, folks. Well, God bless you.